So I was gonna change my name on Zoom. Yours is Rizzy Schemes now, and I was gonna say Siege the Master Baster because
Oh.
Thanksgiving's coming up, right? You know, bars. But if I had done that, I know for a fact that I use this Zoom for business stuff too. So my dumb ass would forget to change that back and have to explain that to my new bosses.
No, that'd be great, because they'd be more happy that you are working for them once they
I
find out
don't
that that is your name. Master Baster.
know. Baster.
Baster.
Baster. That's coming up. It's like a week and a half. It's a week and a half to go. I gotta buy a turkey on Thursday. I'm like, oh my
You
God.
should have just
Ugh.
done. You just do it.
I'm going to. Fucking head down, balls up, plow through
Oh.
Thanksgiving dinner. That's right. Boom.
Head down, balls
That's right.
Whoa.
That's how you have to attack Thanksgiving. Oh my God. But that's neither here nor there. I do have a question for you
Okay. I have a
before
couple
we get
questions.
started. Now that you've moved into your brand new sparkling loft, did your shirts get lost in a fire somewhere?
No, they did not. You see, I haven't unpacked 70% of my things yet because my
Course.
furniture and other things are still on their way here. And so I'm really just waiting for my furniture to get here, and then I'm gonna do one. I'm gonna spend just one entire day because I took a bunch of PTO off these next 2 months during the holiday. And so I'm just gonna spend a day or two just putting this whole place together.
Okay, that's what's up. That's the exciting part. Now that you moved
Hell
in,
yeah.
like just getting it all put together and making it home, you know?
Hell yeah, bro. I can't wait. When I have everything done, I'm gonna do a big fucking MTV Cribs, a Bank Bro Cribs episode,
I love
whatever you
it.
call
We'll come with something clever for it, but I like it. That's gonna be fun.
it.
Show the whole thing off. Just oh my God.
Oh, the whole thing. Show the
The whole
whole thing off.
thing. But just keep your pants on. That's all we ask.
Off right now. I got them
Oh
off
my God. I didn't even know that. God.
right now. You know, we just keep winning. Every Sunday, we just keep winning. So I don't know how to
So your only option is just to go pantsless, no matter what. That's the option. You keep winning, clothes keep coming off.
Look, every Sunday, if the Pistons and the Lions win on the same Sunday, I gotta go naked.
Wow. Wow.
There's nothing left to be said. There's nothing more
Wow.
to explain. What's understood doesn't need to be explained.
I can't like hate on it because, again, I think I'd be doing the same thing. I'm not as, you know, open with the body as you are, but like around my house, yeah. That's
Oh yeah,
a swinging energy. You know what I'm saying? Like
oh yeah,
you're bad.
swang, yeah.
Swanging, right? Like I get it. I understand it. It doesn't mean I have to appreciate and enjoy it. I'm seeing nipples every fucking week with you now, but you know, it is what it is.
Hey man, they're different from the ones you normally see.
That is a good way of putting it. Maybe it's a refresher. It's a refresher for me. It's a palate cleanser.
Yeah, no ditty, no ditty.
No, no ditty at all. No ditty at all. Just a reminder, like, oh, okay, I got a good at home. How is everything else going other than your move, sir?
I actually have a couple questions for you.
Oh, I like
We're
questions.
gonna I'm throwing you a curveball now.
Ooh.
So last week I had this Jeopardy game planned out. Got
That's right.
cut during pre-show meetings. So I pulled three questions from my Jeopardy game, NFL Jeopardy, I should say. They're all $100 questions, so they're relatively easy. You got three categories, all right? You got the NFL draft,
Oh,
offense, and
God.
defense, each for $100. You're gonna answer all three, all right?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, pick your first.
Give me defense for 100, please, Alex.
Defense for 100. He leads the NFL in interceptions this season.
Ooh, interceptions. Who is? Do I only get one? What? I get one guess?
One final guess.
One final guess. Okay. Who is Xavier McKinney?
Ooh, good guess. He's number two with six.
Oh, damn. Who's number one?
Kirby Joseph with seven.
Oh, I had a feeling it was gonna be somebody on the line. So I was like, I couldn't think about it. But McKinney's been going off too. I gotta give credit where it's
Yes.
due. McKinney's been a
Yes.
fucking baller this season.
McKinney's number two. Marlon Humphrey's number three with
Marlon Humphrey.
five. And then a bunch of dudes got four.
Damn. Okay. Fuck.
Boom.
Give me
NFL draft, offense.
NFL draft for 100.
He was drafted with the first overall pick in 2018.
2018.
We watched this draft at your house.
Number one.
Number one overall in 2018.
Why am I blanking on this?
Think about positions that normally go number one overall. Yeah.
It's a quarterback.
And then think of all the shitty teams the past few seasons.
Who is Justin Herbert? No. It's, oh my God.
I'll give you a hint. He was in the same draft class as Lamar Jackson.
I was gonna say Lamar, but it's not Lamar. It's who was number one when Lamar was in there? Oh my God, I'm totally blanking.
Let me know if you give up.
But I give up. I cannot think. I'm trying to draw. No, it's not Joe Burrow, is it?
No, I'll give you one more guess. But that Joe, I think Joe Burrow was the following. No, he was like 2020 or something like that.
Well, 2020? That's not Andrew Luck. No. No, I give up. Oh, fuck.
Andrew Luck was 2012, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
2018 was, who is Baker Mayfield?
Oh, shit. That was 2018?
That was 2018.
I never would have guessed that of all the number ones. Wow.
18.
What did I think he was like 2015?
No, probably because of his beard. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I think because like Johnny Manziel and Baker Mayfield remind me so much of each other that I think it's just one person. So I'm thinking like Johnny Manziel's draft class is actually like Baker Mayfield's and he's like older than he is. But that's not true.
Gotcha.
That's my stupid logic behind that. But Baker always trips me up.
It makes sense. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. All right, man. Last question. Offense for $100.
I haven't gotten none of this shit. Thank God we cut this segment.
This one you might get. He leads the NFL in receiving yards this season.
I'm going to say who is Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Is that your final answer?
But I'm not. Let me think for 1 second.
Okay. He leads the NFL in receiving yards this NFL season.
I don't think it's Tyreek. I'm going to say St. Brown. Final answer.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. That is incorrect.
Damn it. Who is over to him?
Who is Ja'Marr Chase? Who already has over 1,000 yards.
Interesting.
Yeah, because the Bengals game or whatever, that 52.
You are absolutely right.
But St. Brown is, I think he's like 9 or something like that.
9? I'm surprised by that. Yeah. The way Goff has been throwing?
He's a receptions guy.
Good point. Maybe not so much a yell. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. With Cincinnati being so shitty, you don't think about success like that in Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, no. It makes complete sense because if you think about it, they suck. So they're always losing, which means they have to throw the ball.
Airing the ball out, yeah. But it's just like you would think you get some success with that.
Yeah, why do you think Calvin Johnson's numbers were so high? It's because he fucking sucked.
Yeah, that's facts, though. Oh, my God. Well, thank you for testing my knowledge. Clearly, I need to sharpen my skills here because, my God, this has been a wild-ass season. I can barely keep track of the shit.
Wild as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, last-minute kicks, whether they go in or get blocked. Or they miss.
I will fight a naked man. I will fight. Just letting you know.
Hey, my kicker made his, okay? My kicker made his.
He sure did. Sure did. We'll get to that part later. That's called a teaser for the folks. As for me, I didn't really do shit last week. I was just working out of the basement. I've been in a fucking cave down there of paint fumes and fucking garbage pails and going ham with this fucking place. So I'm trying to be ready. I'm thinking next draft, the bar will be open and fantasy dinner will be served. Fantasy draft. Mm. It's going to be lit. Exactly. But I want to just do a couple quick hits. The wife and I were watching. Like I said, we watch reality shows.
Awesome.
We've gone through the whole ringer of reality shows. And right now we're on Below Deck, which I might have mentioned before. Pretty much Below Deck is like the movie Waiting. If you rotated the cast every season, stretched it out to like 9 seasons and put it on a yacht, that's what Below Deck is. So it's fun watching all this, you know, bitching and drama happen with a yacht crew. But something fucking irked me on an episode we watched last night. And I don't know what year this is from. It was probably like 2019 or some shit. They were like, it was like a group of like girls, like one percenters, you know, the type on a yacht.
Yeah.
You know, on a little yacht, you know, trip between like 3 islands and some shit. And they were getting, you know, you get like a 5-course, you know, 5-star meal served to you by this, you know, exotic chef. And like the dude's super nice. He's serving up a really nice chicken dinner to them. And they legitimately were like disgusted by it. They're like, chicken?
What?
Chicken is poor people food. Poor people food. So like we just deserve scallops and seafood. This is literally what they said. chicken is for poor people. And I looked at Rachel and I said, when the fuck did chicken become the food of the poor? I just wanted to ask you that, your opinion on that. Do you agree with that opinion? Are we eating poor people food?
Look, man, this is, I mean, no offense when I say this. Why the fuck are white people always trying to change the rules?
Thank you.
Let me break this down for y'all. You know, back in the day when slavery was still a thing, slaves were forced to eat the chitlins and stuff like that,
Oh, yeah.
forced to eat the gizzards and all that tasty shit. Where did that come from? A fucking chicken. What did the rich white people eat? The fucking chicken. So don't give me that bullshit. All right? And to be clear, for some of y'all who didn't know, you know, lobsters were used to feed prisoners at one point. Scums of the sea that so happen to be a delicacy now. Make that make sense. And now it's fucking $30 for a tail. Make that make sense.
It's that rich meat. Gotta love that succulent shit. But yeah, that shit was like threw me for a loop. Like I've been thinking about it all wrong. And to protest, I had Chick-fil-A for lunch today, and that shit was banging. You know they got like a sweet and spicy sriracha sauce? Brother, knocked my socks off. I
Sweet and
digress.
spicy sriracha sauce.
Yes, exactly. It was amazing. Now, one other quick hit I wanted to say before we get the show started, and I have a
Sure.
visual aid for this one.
Okay.
But to turn your attention to the screen, I want to highlight something, and I'm going to call it a life rule that I'm going to abide by from here on out. Do you see the screen?
Oh, I see it.
This was my morning commute to drop my pick my son up. Excuse me, not my morning commute. This is my afternoon commute to pick my son up from school.
In your Corvette?
Yes, that's my Corvette, clearly. For
Awesome.
dramatic purposes, clearly. And that
You
is
let me
a
borrow that the other week. I remember you.
Yeah, exactly. You remember that. You remember that. I have the Corvette. It's in the garage that I also own. That's external, you know? Yeah. So this was my position here. And this busted ass hoopty over here was holding up traffic behind him. See the angry little person here, and the angry car here, and the angry car there.
Why does that look
So
like Mater?
it pretty much is Mater. This was, you know, a ridiculous sight for me to see. Now, on my side, the right, as you see here, I'm doing the right thing. You're supposed to go on this side of the street and then turn your ass into the student parking lot on the right. There you go. If you're on the left side, this is for oncoming traffic because it's time for school pickup, like everybody knows. This guy decided he wants to turn in front of the line going the correct way. So instead of me going, "You're a dick," I said, "I'll let you in, brother." Gave him the wave, even though everyone behind him is honking and he's in the wrong. I said, go on, sir. Tell me why this dude, the cast of Disney's Holes, decided to drive by me and not return the hand signal.
Oh my God,
The
bro. That's the
acknowledgement.
fucking worst.
The acknowledgement. And
Bro.
like had the nerve to glare at me like I'm in the wrong. That's a sin. If you don't re-acknowledge someone letting you in, I should be able to get out and slash your tires.
Man,
That's
you.
my opinion.
So, wait, they turned into Sully School too?
Same thing. Yep. Same area we're going to, except he's
Ooh.
completely bullshitting his way in there, and
Ooh.
we're on the correct side of the street.
Man. If I was you, look, you're a better man than me. I would have told Sully, look, find out whose dad that is or whoever the fuck it is, and you get back to me. All right. But at the same time, you become friends with that kid. All
Right. Keep him close.
right. Keep him close. He's
It's like
not
old.
a friend, he's an enemy.
He's like O'Doyle Rules and like Billy
Yeah.
Madison and shit. It's the O'Doyle family. It definitely felt like that. It was that kind of vibe.
Where you live, I fucking believe that.
Yep. You get quite a mix where I'm at. That's all. Just a life lesson. Don't be a
Man,
dick. If
you've
someone gives
been.
you that, just give them the head nod, the salute, the peace, whatever, man. That's just universal law.
I'm saying, and it's just like, bro, when someone says thank you, say you're welcome.
Right.
It's the same shit. If someone holds the door for you, you say thank you.
Pretty sure you learned that in kindergarten, but what do I know?
No, we didn't learn anything in kindergarten. You know why? Because if we did, we would have listened to that dare fucking line, but none of us do.
Oh man, I even have a Dare shirt. I should wear that next time. I need a Dare hoodie. That program was highly successful.
I knew you were gonna do that.
I think we should start the show before I get in any trouble. What do you think?
Yeah, start the show while I roll this joint and pour up some Honey Jack.
You just said about. their program will be ashamed of you. Let's cue the music.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome, everybody, to the Bank Bro Show. You know what time it is. It's time for your boys, Siege and Rizzy, to bring you the news that you want to hear about sports, knowledge, entertainment, and not being a jackass in school parking lots. Welcome back. We're glad you came back here for another episode. Hot and spicy. So let's get down to business. Like I said in Mulan.
Get down to business.
I fucking love that shit. Oh, my God. This, please, side note. I'm going to butt my whole chest into shit. Mulan is one of the most underrated Disney movies of all time.
Fucking facts.
It does not get anywhere near enough respect. The music is incredible. Eddie Murphy is a fucking dragon. I'm sorry. The plot, impeccable. I almost fucking cry at that fucking movie. It still gets me, especially as a father of a daughter. So that shit is emotional. But oh my God. And it's the only, it is the only live action remake that's actually tolerable. The rest of them fucking kick rocks.
Really?
That one is okay. It's not great. You don't have Mushu. Well, because there's no Mushu. So that you take Mushu out, it doesn't have that same magic. But for live action, it serves a fun purpose. It still has some magic to it. Okay. But yes, that's an amazing fucking movie. The animated version. Oh my God. But yeah,
no Mushu. What the fuck?
How are you gonna? That's what I said. I don't know how you do it without Mushu. But they did it.
That was the best character on the entire show.
Right.
I mean, they did it.
Yep, it happened, and that was it. But anyway, I digress. In other entertainment, you know, imaginary magic news, there was a boxing fight that occurred.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you've been living under a rock, in this case, I don't see how you possibly could.
And if you are, good for you.
Yeah, you avoided a lot of weird shit going on. But Netflix probably found you under that rock, and they've been hyping up this match between a 27-year-old amateur, and I mean amateur boxer, fighting the 58-year-old absolute icon, Iron Mike Tyson. So Netflix has been 58 years old, 5'8". So that's an age gap. And Jake Paul, you know, is Jake Paul. So Netflix has been throwing all their weight behind this fucking fight. Worldwide, live stream, can't miss it. And, you know, when you talk about a Jake Paul fight, it's the same thing. You're pretty much just trying to see him get knocked the fuck out. And in this case, with Mike Tyson, you're begging him to get knocked out because it's Mike Tyson. And America loves Mike Tyson.
Oh,
we
yeah.
All do. We respect that man more than anything. So that was all well and good until the actual night of the fight, when the almighty Netflix had severe struggles trying to maintain a live stream of their fight they were broadcasting. Again, this is Netflix, the mega ultra corporation that you would think would be able to live stream and handle the weight, and it just crumbled. I mean, I turned it on for Serrano and Taylor, so that was my main concern, and it was like America Online, like dial-up connection slow, laughably slow.
Slower than my hotspot slow.
That's pretty fucking slow. So Netflix, I was saying even to this guy, like, man, they better hope their stock doesn't take a hit or a nosedive, because they're supposed to be playing some NFL football games later on too, and y'all can't even handle a boxing event, and y'all gonna play some NFL? Cool. It's even gotten so bad that there's even a class action lawsuit against Netflix that just got dropped to them today because people felt cheated by the streams. You barely even saw the fight at all. I mean, those of us in the know, you know, we were able to find certain ways to watch the fight, so I didn't miss a damn thing.
Uh-huh. This
man over here on Facebook snitching about sources and shit.
Hey, man, they need to start charging. The way their stream was working in comparison to Netflix, if I'm the plug, I'm going to start charging. Because Netflix, a $33.7 billion company, can't even broadcast a live event.
But you ain't got to give the sources away, bro. That's how we stay profitable. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. But even if you couldn't find the fucking fight, trust me, folks, you didn't miss anything. Rizzy, tell them how the fight went.
So All of Jake Paul's fights go the same way. They're all scripted. So essentially, it's all a scam. Yes, it's boxing, but there are so many rules and parameters into the contract that he has his opponent sign outside of Tommy Fury, to the point where like it's basically a glorified sparring match. If you look at the rules against Tyson, they wore 14-ounce gloves. I just want to remind people who don't practice or just aren't aware of the sport of boxing. Normal sparring gloves are 16 ounces. They fought in 14-ounce gloves. That's just 2 ounces less than an actual sparring glove. In comparison to the rest of the boxers on the card, normally heavyweights fight with 10-ounce gloves, 8 to 10-ounce gloves. That's normally what pro fighters fight with. And so 4 ounces, that's a lot. Why? I mean, I don't know. The more cushion, the more hard it is to knock someone out. What is Mike Tyson known for? Knocking people the fuck out. So Jake Paul, he has all the leverage because he has the money. So he can do things like that because at the end of the day, he's the one that's promoting the fight and also paying these opponents that he's fighting,
He made
providing big paydays.
$40 million on this fight.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not knocking the hustle,
Me either.
but I love the sport of boxing. Maybe not as much as basketball and football, but I love the sport of boxing.
Yeah.
I love it enough to respect the art and the work that goes into these professional fighters being on the biggest stages. And so, me as a fan, like the fights that interested me were all the undercard fights.
Yep.
Tyson and Paul, that fight, like I didn't give two shits about, but this is how it went. Mike Tyson came out for the first 2 rounds and looked good, actually.
Yes. Scary.
Scary good. I thought he was gonna
Yeah.
knock out Jake Paul at one
He
point.
was charging at him like a rhino. I said, "Oh fuck."
He was moving his head, you know, he was looking really
Yeah,
good.
like Paul's face was like, "Oh no, I fucked around and found
Yeah.
out."
And then you got to the third round, and all of a sudden he just stopped moving. Tyson literally stopped moving.
That was it.
That was probably a hidden clause in their little contract saying after the second round, you can't do shit.
Oh, and he didn't.
And he didn't. Was Tyson old and tired? He probably could have been, but he had no activity. I don't have the stats in front of me. I didn't have it in me to go rewatch that weak ass fight.
He had 97 punches the entire fight.
The entire fight. And I'm pretty sure 40% of those punches came in the first 2 rounds.
For comparison, Amanda Serrano in the 10th round of her fight threw 73 punches in just
Oh.
that round.
That was the actual main event. Can we talk about that fight?
Oh yeah, as soon as we're done with this fight, we're getting to the real main event. Don't you worry.
Yeah, and then I don't like. There's nothing left for me to say because Jake Paul doesn't necessarily impress me as a boxer.
No, me either.
I just feel like he's what you call a celebrity boxer that does this shit for money, which I can't hate. I'm just not a fan of.
Exactly. That's
That's all.
again, I watched the fight out of pure respect for Mike Tyson and literally just to see Jake Paul get knocked the fuck out. Which is, if that's a spectacle he wants to be a part of, then cool. That's
He's
like going
using
to see.
that as leverage
Right.
to promote his shit.
It's like going to see the Globetrotters. Like, you know, you're not going to go see professional basketball. You're going to go see a show. So,
Exactly. You know what
go
you're
see it.
getting.
You know what you're getting. So, this was lose-lose. If you're trying to take it seriously, it's lose-lose. Because either Jake Paul was going to beat a 58-year-old man, or he was going to get beaten by a 58-year-old man. What purpose did this serve for anybody other than for Mike Tyson to personally challenge himself to see if he could do it? I respect it because damn, that takes real balls.
And
But
you know
other
what?
than
He got fucking paid.
he got paid handsomely, what did he make 20 on that? So shit,
20 mil.
cool, crisp, clean, unregulated, under the table, I'm sure. So probably a bonus too. So,
Hell yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Good for everybody making money. But yes, can we please talk about the real main event? Because that was Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano, part two. And what was a masterclass fucking fight? Just, it was cinema. Blood. Eyelids getting cut. Headbutts. Fucking just crisp fucking strikes. Taylor was getting died the fuck up. Yeah, please talk to them about this fucking war. Because it was epic.
So,
Wow. What a hit.
like my partner said, man, these ladies laid it out on the line. Right from the jump, Amanda Serrano came out and said, I'm gonna avenge this loss, and I'm gonna do everything in my power not to leave it up to the judges. She came out and stung Katie Taylor right away in the first round. Katie Taylor was in trouble. You can tell.
You knew it.
And I believe it was in the second or third round was when Katie Taylor hit Serrano with that headbutt and cut her eye open.
Yeah.
I think that changed the entire fight.
Oh, yeah. Intensity ramped up.
Intensity ramped up, yes. And it also took Serrano into borderline survival mode because she knew that cut was bad.
Yeah. You feel it.
Katie Taylor is known to be a headbutter. I was never a big fan of Katie Taylor. I respect her talent, but
same.
I was on Serrano this entire fight.
100%
I
true.
Put money on her. And basically, these ladies were throwing down like it was Hagler and Sugar Ray. Just slugging it in the pocket,
yeah.
Slugging it.
Grinding, man. Oh.
Katie Taylor would hit Serrano with a couple shots. And this was every single round was like this.
Oh, yeah.
Katie Taylor would get better of exchanges. And then, oh, shit, Serrano comes back and gets the better of exchanges. And it would just flip-flop back and forth. But at the end of the fight, when it relied on the judges' scorecards, because neither of the ladies got a finish, in my opinion, I had Serrano up two rounds.
So did I. So did a lot of people, actually.
And that's not me counting that big, well, it wasn't a knockdown, but... So you couldn't really score a 10-8, but I had her up
right.
three. It was I had her up technically 3 points, but
yeah.
Two rounds.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that.
And every one of those judges, when the decision was announced, it was unanimous. And I said, okay, cool, unanimous for Serrano. And it was for Katie Taylor. Now, I don't know what the judges were watching. I don't know what stream they were using.
Netflix. For sure.
Maybe Netflix, that's why their eyes didn't work. All right.
This shit was delayed as fuck.
Maybe they should have used the TV app. Maybe they should have used maybe their shit would have worked then.
Put the sources away.
Hey, I saved the best one though. I saved the best one. But man, like although I don't agree with the decision, I think everyone and their mama can agree. That was a hell of a fucking fight.
Oh my god.
And they put on not just for women's boxing, but women's sports, period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a dog fight. So kudos to both girls. I agree. Serrano got robbed, I think. I had her up almost three rounds, in my opinion. But, like, that shit. I'm even looking at the final stats. Serrano beat her in every single stat.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember seeing the stat. Serrano led in every major punching category. So
yep.
How does he not win?
I don't know. Like, it makes no sense. Even the boxing bots are like, we have nothing for you, sir. So,
AI would have told you that Serrano won.
You would think. But,
man, you got something to drink?
Of course I do.
Cheers.
Always. The whiskey cup's always there. Cheers. Speaking of, got to get away from the stink of Jake Paul's sports entertainment fights and get to some real fighting like the UFC. Since we already got the whiskey poured up, we got three fights to talk about because UFC 309 is in the books. Let's start with results of the middleweight divisions, Bo Nickel and Paul Craig. Well, I mean, I did say Nickel by unanimous decision, and I was correct. It was
you
unanimous.
Were. I said stoppage, right?
Yeah, I think you did say stoppage, yes.
Did I say a round? I don't remember if I did.
Oh, I don't think I wrote your round down. Let's say you were wrong.
I was wrong.
Yes.
You won, but I said by stoppage.
That's right.
So, first of all, wait, did you have some more to say about that fight?
No, I was going to say, you can go ahead and break it down for him.
First of all, that fight was boring as fuck.
Yeah, it was.
Bo Nickel didn't shoot one time for a takedown.
No, I don't get it.
Bo Nickel tried to stand up and show that he improved his striking, but his striking needs some work still.
That's true.
To put it kindly. In my opinion, did he win this fight? Sure. Was it impressive? No. Is there anything to talk about? No. Does he deserve a big-time opponent? No.
Wow. Not even the big time yet. I mean, he's only 7-0, so I'd say, yeah, they're still in the kind of tin can phase of giving him dudes you know he can whoop on and smother to death and not do anything. There's a couple that he's had some good performances with, but I'm ready for him to test himself with a buzzsaw a little bit. Like, let's see what the kid's got. You need new stars in that division right away. So, why not?
Look, who would you put him up against?
Oh, here we go. I knew you were going to say it. Let's pull up the rankings. That's a new song
Because
called Let's
like,
Pull Up the Rankings.
would you put him up against like, I don't know where they got him ranked, but like, no, he's probably pretty high. Marvin Vittori's probably pretty high.
Ooh, Marvin's seven.
Seven, yeah, he
Yeah.
needs someone in the top 10
You
first.
know what? I know who he could fight.
Who?
I got just the guy for him.
Who?
Paulo Costa.
Well, Paulo will knock him out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's find out. Paulo is a hard-nosed vet in that division. So if Bo Nickel is the real deal, why not? I think that's a good gatekeeper to see if he's ready.
No, but Paulo's pretty high, isn't he?
Paulo is 11.
Oh, he's 11.
See? I think that's a good fight for both those guys.
Oh man, yeah, he'll knock out Bo Nickel. I said it here first. He's gonna knock out Bo Nickel and shoot up the ranking.
That could be, but I think that's out of the list I'm seeing. I think Costa is sticking out as like that's a good gatekeeper fight.
Costa,
I would want to see
Paulo, man. I think that's a mismatch.
it.
I
Hey.
honestly do. I think it's a mismatch for Bo Nickel.
Well,
He got destroyed.
real champs don't have mismatches.
He ain't a real champ.
Don't, let's find out.
He never will be. I don't think he ever will be, man.
No,
Honestly,
I mean
I'm not
middle.
even hating. I'm not even hating, but I'm just being
No,
honest.
middleweight is a deadly division.
You still got that one dude, Baralo. I don't know how to say his name. He should be ranked as a middleweight. He might be like 13 or
Yeah,
14 from Brazil.
Kyle
Yes.
Barallo is actually number six.
Oh, okay. So he shot up.
He
Okay.
shot up.
Like that dude is going to be the next champion in this.
I could see it. His record's pretty nasty. Yeah, he just beat Jared Cannonier back in August.
Jared Cannonier, who was a title contender.
And he's beating Paul Craig right before that. So he's already going through the list here. Magomedov, he's taking out. Oleksiy Ajuk. Yeah, this is he's been
Yep.
on a hot streak.
Oh, I got a better fight.
Oh, who's that?
Share a bullet.
Is that
Share a
ranked though?
bullet. Yeah, he's not ranked. That's the thing. Fight for your ranking.
Well, sure. Well, that's the traditional
But they're
course of
both on the
business.
rise.
Yeah.
They're both
That would
relatively
make
young and
more
good.
sense. Yeah, that would make more sense, of course, to do his next fight. But I'm just saying, like, if I'm being spicy with the rankings, like, if I'm going to really test this kid as a next star, the same way they were testing Sean O'Malley, like, shoot, they gave him some tin cans and they shot his ass up the rankings. So, like,
See, but O'Malley was getting finishes.
he was getting finishes. You're absolutely right. That is true. But
This dude got an
test him.
injury.
I know. Against Paul Craig, yeah, you gotta do better than that, bro. No disrespect to Paul Craig.
No
But
disrespect.
let's get into a better fight with our
Yes.
guy, Charles Oliveira, taking on Michael Chandler. And this one was the one I was looking forward to the most. I had called for a round two finish, and this ended as an UD for Oliveira, which was heartbreaking for me. But go ahead and give him the business, sir.
Wait, did you write down what I said? Finish in one round? I
I
said
didn't
finish
write down
too.
anything you said.
All right. I remember I said finish too. I just don't remember what round.
I'm
But
gonna
anyway.
guess it wasn't the fifth. I'm pretty sure you and I were on the same page, like second and third round for picks here.
Yeah.
Like that's where
Yeah.
it was.
No, this fight, man, this was anything. I don't know how to put this, man, but
Yeah, it was a wild
this
ass
fight
fight,
was
man.
amazing.
It was really great.
So Charles Oliveira came out in the first round, guns blazing. Knee up, that Muay Thai stance. He started striking with Michael Chandler. He was getting the best of the exchanges. You would see beautiful technique on Oliveira's punches. And one thing you'll also notice in that fight specifically against Michael Chandler would be fully extended on his punches. Oliveira, he wouldn't even be fully extended. He would still have some room to breathe, and he was still landing those punches. Like, Oliveira is a big 55er. And it showed. Like, there was multiple instances where he had a body locked in or a body locked in on the mat, and Michael Chandler couldn't do anything because his legs aren't long enough to get enough leverage for him to like flip over, explode, or anything because Charles Oliveira's legs are so long. And so, for the most part, Oliveira would hurt him on the feet, take him to the ground, control him, hit him with a nice knee up the middle because Michael Chandler kind of lunges in. And he kind of has to because he's a shorter fighter. And so Oliveira was hitting him with that knee up the middle, knee up the middle. I think that was a great adjustment that Oliveira made. Something he didn't do much of the first fight. But on the flip side, Michael Chandler fought his heart out.
That's true.
He was on the
Hell yeah.
mat, fighting finishes. One false move, he could have got choked out.
True. Oh, hell yeah. He was close.
But he didn't. And late in that, I believe it was the fifth round, he had Oliveira hurt. He dropped Oliveira, almost finished Oliveira with some ground and pound, but Oliveira did enough to survive.
Right.
And
had
so,
him with that backpack choke, trying to slam him on the mat and get him off, and he just couldn't do it. Didn't
And
Oliveira
so,
kiss him on the forehead? Oh,
no,
he said night night, night night.
There were a lot of emotes
Yeah.
during this fight, man. But overall, just a good effort by Chandler.
Yes.
But he just didn't start out hot enough. Like a typical Michael Chandler fight, he comes out, he's the one throwing.
And
He's the one scoring the first knockdown.
Yeah, that's what we called for. We were saying he was going to empty his tank and then just probably get knocked the fuck out or choked the fuck out, and just that was it. So seeing him go full five and hang in there and fight for the whole thing was impressive, you know?
Yeah, but in my opinion, he would have had a better chance if he came out guns blazing.
Yeah,
Because
that's true.
He almost won the first time like that, and you can't switch up who you are. Like, yeah, it might not be the smartest move to fight the way Michael Chandler normally fights, which is not how he fought during this fight against Oliveira.
Right.
But it's what he does, and it's what got him to the dance. And so why switch it up? You almost beat the same dude doing the same thing.
True.
I don't know. I don't know if it was a coach's thing or a him thing, but I don't agree with that game plan. That's just something I analyzed and something I noticed. I think that hurt him in the long run because Oliveira, he started to get too comfortable in that third round. And I think that was the difference right there. When Oliveira knew he won the first three rounds, fourth round, he was like, okay, I can take a little more shots. And then fifth round, he's like, okay, I just got to get through this round.
Right. Shit was crazy, man. Fucking loved it. It was a fight that I wanted it to be, and I'm glad it went that way. But I was hoping for Oliveira to take him down and finish it a little bit quicker. But I'll take a couple shots for being off on the round on that one, motherfucker.
Yeah, I just took mine.
That was a long one. Okay, that's what she said. And lastly was the main event. Finally, the return of the king in the heavyweight division as John Bones Jones defended the heavyweight championship against Stipe Miocic, who's not everyone's favorite, but he's there. So this was a lot of talk going into this fight, especially with everything going on with Jones. You just never know. You know what you're getting in the octagon, the absolute best. Outside the octagon, that's where all the drama is. But all that being said, this was just down to who is the best heavyweight champion, period. And John Jones is still John Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Love him or hate him, there's no one better than John Jones. And man, did he deliver in the third round here. Tell him how it went, Rizzy.
So, first round, a lot of feeling out from both fighters. But John was the more active fighter. Second round comes out. Stipe actually starts to get the respect of John Jones. He shows that he still has that power. John Jones felt that power. You can tell the way he was exiting those exchanges, the way he would quickly get out of range right away, or what I like to call it, layups and threes. He would quickly go in for a layup, so close the distance, throw whatever he has to throw, and then quickly run back out to the three-point line and take a shot, or move out the distance, move out and get back to the void, and then throw his shots. I think John Jones is just in a class of his own, and Stipe Miocic right now is a little on the older side.
He's old, yeah.
John Jones is too, I understand, but John Jones is closer to his prime than Miocic, and John Jones is the fucking GOAT. I don't think there's a single thing Stipe does better than John Jones, and that's even box. He has more power, but that's it.
Barely.
John Jones landed this beautiful spinning back kick right to his ribs.
Thing of beauty.
And that's the difference.
That was it.
That's the difference between John Jones and everyone else. It's because John Jones, he'll consistently not only find the shot, but do the exact thing, like the perfect way to finish. Because
kill
that's
shot.
Exactly where you're weak. Look at the way he finished Ciryl Gane. Quickly choked him out, and got kicked in the nuts, and then choked him out in like 2 seconds.
I paid for that bet.
Like, he'll find what you are weak at and where you're weak at. Guess what? He's fucking excellent at. For the most part, that's exactly what I saw from the fight, and I was not surprised one bit.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. And we shouldn't be, honestly. At this point, all the talk is now pointed to what's next. And I want to know your opinion on this.
Yeah.
The whole John Jones and Tom Aspinall conversation. I know you don't agree that John Jones is ducking Tom Aspinall, but now that he's saying he wants that fuck you money to fight Tom and settle the beef once and for all, A, I want to know, do you think the fight happens? And B, do you think Jones beats Aspinall?
Do I think the fight happens? Was that your first question?
Yes.
I do think this fight happens.
Even with stupid money on the table.
I do.
Yeah.
I think it happens. It might be later than what we expect. But I think this fight does happen. And to answer your second question, do I think John Jones wins? I absolutely do think he wins. I think he'll submit Tom Aspinall. I don't think he would want to stand too much with Tom Aspinall, just thinking about it, because he's such a good wrestler. And the way John Jones normally game plans for a fighter, he picks out what you do worst, or like
right.
what John Jones feels like what he does better than you. And John Jones, I'm pretty sure he feels like he's a better grappler than Aspinall. So pretty sure he's going to come out and tap that boy out. Maybe armbar.
He's an armbar. I mean, I can see it too. I do agree. I don't think Aspinall can hang with Jones either. I don't care. He can. I think this is a good play for Aspinall to keep his name out there and say, like, hey, Jones is ducking me. Jones is ducking me. Like, get the payday, bro. Because even if you get this fight and get just destroyed, his profile is never going to be bigger than it is right now as interim champ. So, like, you can either shock the world or secure your future either way. So Aspinall, I think, is in a really good spot. But, yeah, I think Jones puts him to sleep. Sorry, bro.
Really?
Oh, yeah. John Jones all the way. Like, I have bet against John Jones in the past. I will never do that shit again. He proved to me the guy is the blueprint. You can't beat that. I'm sorry.
I remember. You did bet on Zero God.
Yeah. I'll never forget that shit.
Because I took John Jones. I remember it.
He made me eat my fucking words. So, nope. Sorry. Sorry, Tom. You ain't got it, bro. But let's move on to other sports like the NFL, because you're shirtless. I know you've been waiting to talk about the Lions, because the Lions had friends over at Ford Field, and, you know, they were the Jacksonville Jags. This was a slaughter, if I've ever seen one. So, Rizzy, you can please walk people through what happened in Detroit on Sunday. God.
What happened was the Lions only ended up scoring 52 points.
Only 52 points.
And these motherfuckers gave up 6 points. Fucking six bitch-ass points to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let me tell y'all something, ladies and gentlemen. The Detroit Lions, they are a very good football team. That's the simplest way I can put it. They're playing very disciplined football, but yet also playing like they hate everyone in sight, not wearing the Honolulu blue. And so in this game, the Detroit Lions went 7 straight drives with a touchdown, 8 straight drives with at least a score. The last drive being a field goal from 54 yards out by Jake Bates. Shout out to him. And guess who led that drive? Hendon Hooker.
Your boy.
My boy. Mind you, we took the whole entire offensive starters out in the early in the fourth quarter. Same with the defense. So we had backups playing. And you know what? It's good to see if something goes wrong, we got someone that can fill the job. Because they held starting offenses. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was out, but they held that starting offense to 0 points.
Yeah.
And so this was an amazing team win. Was I surprised? Absolutely not. Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph were just sideline to sideline, like every fucking where. Kirby Joseph was over here hitting people, knocking people out. Fucking, he owns Travis Etienne. I'm sorry. Every time that boy came out the backfield, oh my Lord, he was getting popped. He was getting wrecked, paused by Kirby Joseph. And then shout out to Za'Darius Smith, also known as the Rasheed Wallace of the Detroit Lions. Nice. He got a sack in this game late to seal this game in the fourth. I mean, we really didn't need to seal it, but I guess that was just the fucking nail in the coffin that sent them all the way back down to Jacksonville, I guess.
The coffin was already on fire, bro.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. The way we were moving the ball, I mean, I texted you the entire drive, and I told you exactly what happened. Every single play was exactly what I typed to you. And I remember it was Montgomery, 10 yards. Montgomery, 7 yards. St. Brown, 7 yards. Jameson Williams, 12 yards. Oh, Jahmyr Gibbs, touchdown.
Oh, I remember that.
That was the entire drive.
He memorized the whole fucking drive.
And I was like, whoa. And I'm like, bro, if we don't stop playing, like, we're going to put up 100 points.
You should have. It's the Jags.
It got to a point where on the third drive of the game, the fucking third drive of the game, guess what play we run? A hook and ladder.
That bullshit.
We already on some NFL street bullshit, and guess what? On that drive, we actually scored a touchdown. So, yeah.
That's all. Must be nice.
Shout out to MCDC, man. He's the fucking man. Shout out Aaron Glenn. He's a great coordinator. Ben Johnson, man, it's great having people in the coaching staff that know exactly what to expect on Sunday, so they tell the players what to expect. And then they actually see the things to expect, and so they know where to go with the play call. Man, it's beautiful.
So beautiful. Must be so nice. My team's putting up a fucking 100 points a game.
No, only 33, but.
Oh, must be so nice.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. How can I forget? Our offensive line.
Oh, the offensive line.
Oh, man. Listen, they controlled the game. Whether we were passing or whether we were running, they moved the other dudes up and down the field wherever they wanted to, especially in the run game. In the run game, first of all, they couldn't get off the blocks. And then when they did get off the blocks, they somehow or didn't want to tackle David Montgomery or Jahmyr Gibbs.
I mean, I wouldn't want to either.
So that was that. And, man, I just fucking love these Detroit Lions, man. I love them, man.
He says it every week. Every fucking week.
It's great on this side, man. And
yeah, I bet.
We're going to get up and bite your kneecap. And then we're going to fall back down, get back up, and bite your other kneecap off.
It's just insane. The success that this team has had is wild to watch every week. But again, I'm not a hater.
Did you know Amon-Ra St. Brown had 11 targets and caught all of them?
Yes, I do see that.
And he had 2 touchdowns.
2 touchdowns, 161 yards, average 14 and a half.
Oh, wait. Go down one spot. Read Jameson Williams' stats for the people. Way
more.
Four
receptions, 4, 124 yards, and a touchdown. Cheat code. I sent it to you on the slide. It's a cheat
code.
He
is so fast.
He's fast as fuck. That's a deadly offense.
Jahmyr Gibbs is also fucking fast.
He's very fucking fast. Oh my god, yeah. Between him and Montgomery, the stats are just off the charts. Look at this shit. Jared Goff, QBR is 93.8. Hendon Hooker, 86.8. Goff had a rating of 158.3. Hendon Hooker had a rating of 103.1. How does the backup have 103.1?
Like, because he's actually pretty good and he could have started for the Jags.
Of course he could have. But like, what the fuck happened, Jacksonville? What, y'all got Doug Peterson? That man won a Super Bowl.
They could have scored one touchdown.
Right, y'all getting run up on like this on national television?
Not even one touchdown, bro. Brian Branch was knocking. Oh, I'm sorry. Brian Branch owns Evan Ingram, and Kirby Joseph owns Travis Etienne. Because Brian Branch was hit sticking the fuck out of Evan Ingram from the first play of the game. Good God.
Oh my God. Yes, it must be nice to have a very fun team and enjoy your Sundays. Unless if you're a Bears fan, it's things are fun. Things are fun every week. We're having fun. The Bears and the Packers played this Sunday, and I'm not going to get into it because it hurts too bad. But you already know how this story goes. You know how the story goes. The Bears haven't beat Green Bay since the nation buried George H.W. Bush. So
is that actually true?
That's a real stat, unfortunately. That was.
What the fuck?
That was 2018. We haven't beaten them since that bush got buried. So
put in the dirt, man.
Yeah. So, you know, I knew what to expect. I'm not delirious. I know what my team is capable of, especially when it comes to Green Bay, and we don't get the job done, and I'm already off the fucking cliff as it is. So I said on this show I was not going to watch the game. I said it to him that morning. I'm not going to watch the game. He said, no, you got to watch the game. I said, no, the fuck I don't. I have blood pressure and a future to think about. So that is just going to give me a lot of fucking stress. Somehow, I ended up at my computer with with the game on. I tried making some bets, laid a couple parlays just to make it a little more stressful, and decided to watch the fucking game. Fine. Why not, right? The big positive from this game, as we said last week, is that we replaced Shane Waldron as offensive coordinator. We had Thomas Brown, formerly of the Panthers, so that was a little concerning too, but he was taking over offensive coordinator. The one positive I would take from this game, the offense looked a ton better. Caleb looked comfortable. The plays were coming at a speed that he wanted, so he was able to relay the message, analyze the defense, and make adjustments. It was night and day from what we had with Shane Waldron. It was simplified. Oh, does that sound familiar? Because it's working for some guy named Jaden Daniels. Simplify. Don't just throw the entire playbook at your rookie quarterback. Simplify. Play to his strengths. Wow. We started making completions and having rhythm and timing. It was kind of bonkers. And the Bears actually played really fucking well for everything that's been happening in the last 3 weeks. They played Green Bay like their lives depended on it. And we actually started gumming up to them and tying them. And we had this game won. Caleb did everything he was supposed to do to get us in the position to win this fucking game. And all we needed was to kick a field goal well within our range.
How far was it?
About 46 yards, I believe. Santos had made like a 52-yard, the same game.
I was just going to say.
That's well within his range. Somehow the football gods decided to smite us again because that's just what we like to do. Eberflus, in all his genius ability, had like 36 seconds on the clock and a timeout. You would think you would want to maybe advance the ball a little bit, maybe a little bit closer, or maybe try for the end zone, seeing as we're on a roll. You know, put the fucking stake in the heart of the vampire that we beat, that beats us every goddamn time. So, no, he decides to burn the clock for no fucking reason, down to like a 6 second, 4, 5 second left. Cool. Okay. Still feeling good. And we go for a field goal, and our offensive line crumbles like an old cookie, and Green Bay blocks the field goal, and we lose in embarrassing fashion. Again, if you recall, the Hail Mary in Washington just a couple weeks ago kind of set off a chain reaction for this franchise where everything is going wrong and everything is panicking and I'm dying inside and everything hurts. And I need Eberflus to be fired immediately. I gave you a list last week of everyone else who could be fired.
Oh, yeah.
It needs Eberflus to be number one on the list. Number one.
All I Matthews. Can't keep
all Matthews. You didn't hear me. They have to go now. It has to be now. I can't anymore with this fucking team.
Paper
and
boy.
It's not all of them. It's not even our fault this time. The defense wasn't great, but we almost had it. You have to have a coach who is willing to play to win the game and not play not to lose, or play bullshit conservative, trying to be too safe, or play the metrics. I need a coach, which I've been saying balls all fucking episode, but it's a ball-centric episode. I need a coach with some fucking cojones, bro. I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of these pussy-ass dudes who are just sitting here conservative on the sidelines, who can't make a gut call or an adjustment to save their lives. I'm tired of it. Give me a winner. There's so many coaches and coordinators that are just sitting there with all this modern ideas and genius shit, and we just keep putting out the same old product every fucking time for decades. What's it going to take? This is the opportunity. If you can't do it with this offense, with this fucking lineup, it's never going to happen. You got to get people in there now. The window, whatever window we have, is just about closed. If it even opened in the first place, it opened like this. But I'm saying we can still crawl through that shit. But you got to make the personnel moves now. Fire everybody. Everybody.
Yep. Your GM too.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
him. Ownership. Sell the team. Everybody. The entire family. The McCaskies. Fire them. Everybody. Write them out of the will. I don't care. Everyone is done. I'm tired of it. We need a fresh brain at the head of this organization. Wake me up when you do that. Then it'll be fun to watch again. Thank you. Sincerely, a disgruntled Chicago Bears fan who wants to keep loving your team.
Yeah. You know, a couple of things I actually noticed, like X's and O's wise from the game. Let me take your mind off the whole kick, the whole block. But you know, defensively, I thought the Bears played very well. I thought that cover three defense that the Bears love to play made it very hard for Jordan Love to find a rhythm, because Jordan Love isn't the type of player that is what you would consider precise. He's
No.
more of a gunslinger. He's more of a fitted in at tight windows, make spectacular throws. But, you know, if you want to talk about putting it into that window, he's probably not the most accurate. That's what the Chicago Bears forced Jordan Love to do. And I thought the Chicago Bears were very successful in defense and doing their best to contain Jordan Love with his passing offense. That is what you would consider pretty high octane. Except for one, Christian Watts.
Son of
Why
a
the
bitch.
fuck did you guys let him go off?
And it's only us. That man will get you 30 yards a game. But if he plays the Bears, he's good for 160. I don't know why. It makes no sense.
Why, man? I don't, man. Why? Because him? If it was Jaden Reed, okay, I understand.
I get it.
Dobbs, I understand.
Sure. He's been a hero.
But
Watson?
Christian Watson?
Watson?
Mr. Hamstring?
Right. Just went nuts. Unbelievable, dude. I don't fucking know. I have no answers. I'm just, it's like I said, we're not going to win a game the rest of the season. The season's over. We just don't know it yet. This is just the beginning. This was just the sounding bell for the last seven or so games we've
Wait,
got,
wait.
where it's just going to be just nasty beatings every fucking week.
Wait, but don't you remember when, what's his name? When Caleb Williams threw that back shoulder pass, it was a perfect ball to Rome Odunze, and he caught it back shoulder on like a fourth down, and he
I almost
caught that bitch
cried.
and went out of bounds. Like, that was
Yeah.
beautiful. That's what I'm saying. Like, that he
Yes.
flashes X receiver potential. And
Oh,
so
yeah.
I
It
think
was beautiful.
for the rest of the year, especially with the way Caleb looked this game, the way he looked like he was comfortable in the pocket. Felt the pressure really well, knew when
Yes.
to run, when to take off, knew when to get rid of the ball. You want to make sure he progresses, and you want to make sure you groom Rome Odunze into the X receiver role, like what you showed to do against the Packers, throwing him fucking back
Yes.
shoulder fades and shit, giving him a chance to go make a play, which he very well can with this size and athleticism. So for the rest of the season, to me, it's just progressing. Just get
Yes.
better. In any way, shape, or form, fuck these coaches.
Absolutely true. That pass made me weep like a baby. Odunze is the future. He's the truth. And I'm not saying, for all these people saying, oh, we should bench Caleb for the rest of the season. No. Fuck that. He needs this. Caleb
Yep.
needs this humbling experience.
And he's not playing bad.
He's not playing back. He's actually improving now. He's had a bad few weeks. This was a great first step in a new kind of offense. I'm hoping
He
it's
did play.
consistency after this, but
I was going to say he did play well enough to win. I'd say
yes, for sure.
that.
I
And
want to see it keep growing from there. We're just not going to win.
do you remember when you guys went for two?
I did. It.
Did you agree with that?
Yes,
You
it's
did?
Green Bay. Yes, it is. I know it's the metrics probably would tell you no. This is Green Bay. It's always emotional. I'm sorry. Any chance to put points and try to bury that team that has caused us nothing but misery? I don't give a fuck. I'm playing it like it's Madden. I don't give a fuck about field goals or punts. I'm going to go for every fucking fourth down. I don't care. I'm trying to kill that team. Any other team, I think about it. This is Green Bay, though.
You
You fight, you
know,
go for blood.
in my opinion, as a coach, as a quote unquote coach, Rizzy Schemes, I would have kicked a field goal. And let me tell you why.
Points are points, yes.
Your defense was fucking balling. That means that points are of the essence, which means 6 points, which you're going to go up as if you kick that field goal, that could essentially be a two possession lead still. And so I would take my chances, trust my defense, and see where the game goes. That's what I would have done personally. I
That's
know
fair.
people say hindsight's, you know, 2020, but
Of
I know
course.
in that moment, I disagreed with the call, and I think that was poor judgment. Just my
Yeah.
opinion. I would have kicked the
No,
field goal.
that's fair. I would say if you were a Bears fan, you probably would think differently, but there are some I think that agree with you anyway. But you know, it's,
Yeah, I think
I'm emotional
I
about that
understand
team.
that. No, I completely understand that, CJ. I do, but I'm not calling. Well, I am actually calling Matt Eberflus a bad coach, even though I
He
don't
is a
coach.
bad coach.
Even
He's a
though I
bad
don't
coach,
coach in
yeah.
the NFL, I think he has poor judgment,
Yes.
and I think he is very poor and sucks at feeling the game out, understanding what type of game he has in store for him.
Yeah.
Before and after the half.
Oh, yeah. The adjustments aren't there. Like, shit just happens to Eberflus in
Yeah.
games. I'm just like,
Right.
so reactive and shit, man.
It's
Where's the game plan?
like he's throwing shit. It's like he's throwing darts at the wall.
Yes, seeing what
And
sticks.
he's seeing what the fuck works. He's like, oh shit, that works. Circle that,
Right.
circle that.
Try again. Wide
Try
receiver
again.
screens 8 times a game. Like,
Yeah.
stop. Come on, bro.
And one thing. Let me end what I gotta say on a positive note, man. DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson, that's a hell of a backfield.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
This offensive line just has to pick it up a little bit.
No, man. We need to replace him completely.
Because, man, you can't, I know you can't do anything with your roster for the rest of the year for the most part.
They gotta go.
But, man, they gotta step it up because these running backs, they be fighting. But. When there's two, three people, 300 pounds flying at you for some reason, unfucking blocked. Yeah, you can only do so much.
Yeah, exactly. So I hate having to look forward to the draft already, but it's just like I'm already kind of there. Like, you know, that shit, we have to redo the offensive line if we're gonna get anywhere. It's clearly the biggest fucking problem. And we gotta stop putting band-aids on it, man. Rip it apart. Heavy offensive line this draft. There's plenty of star power on it. Like, this is the time. I think Caleb is our guy. That's not even a question at this point. But clearly, you have to protect your investment. And right now, it's borderline negligence. It's just malpractice. So invest in the fucking O-line before we just waste another fucking quarterback. I can't even deal with that shit. Anyway, let's look at the rest of the NFL to finish up with the NFL's part of our show here and look at the playoff picture that's starting to form a little bit. I know where you guys are sitting pretty top of the NFC.
It gets lonely up here.
Yeah. But behind them are some interesting teams, especially the NFC side. Let's
Hey,
go
don't do
through
no
it real
Diddy shit.
quick.
Don't do no Diddy shit.
No Diddy shit, of course not. Number two, the Philadelphia Eagles at 8-2. Interesting. Starting to cook a little bit.
Yeah, they
Number
are.
th number three is interesting at 6-4. The Arizona Cardinals. Very, very nice.
Atop their
Followed,
division.
they are top of their division, which is it's starting to take some interesting turns in the West. I like it when I'm seeing, especially from the Rams right there in the mix, too. Number four, 6-5 is the Falcons.
Oh
Ravens.
yeah,
Looking
oh
like they
hell.
are. Yeah, the South is getting a little chirpy too, so I don't know if they're going to be up top much longer. Number five and six, both out of the North in the NFC, is the Vikings and Packers right now. And then number seven at the end, Washington still holding on to that spot. Comfortable lead after that, Rams, Seahawks, Niners, and so on. How are you feeling about the race so far on the NFC side?
I think that last wild card spot. Whoever gets that spot, they're a dark horse to make some make some noise in the NFC. Whether it's well, you never know. Washington could move up. You never know.
That's true.
So I expect them to move up. They could still win their division. So
Very true.
don't throw that out the water yet. Whoever gets that last spot between the Rams, the Niners. Maybe Christian McCaffrey gets warmed up. You know, that's later in the year. You got a couple weeks left.
It's true.
Whoever gets that last spot, man, I don't know who else is in the mix.
Buccaneers are kind of sitting at 11 right now, and the
But
Bears are technically not dead yet. Everybody behind us, Saints, Panthers, Cowboys, Giants. So
yeah,
I
I
would
was gonna
say
say
not
never mind.
us. Buccaneers, I would say, are a
Just
spicy pick.
those two teams, really.
That's really it, though. I don't
The
Seahawks are
Rams are looking bad.
fun, but I don't know. Rams, I think they're about to lose Puka. He looked really hurt in that game. So no Puka. I'm sorry, Rams. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say Niners still. I still think with a healthy McCaffrey in the back half of the season, I think you're gonna see something from them, but I agree with you. I think Commanders actually move up here and make some noise in the playoffs too, because Commanders
Yeah.
are hooking, bro. I know they just lost, but
No, they've
they're
lost to some good teams. Like nothing to
good
hang their hats
teams.
on.
Exactly. But the AFC side's a little spicier, especially now that the Chiefs have finally lost a fucking game to the Buffalo Bills. So Chiefs are at the number one spot, still 9-1, but right behind them are those Bills at number two. So I'm liking what I'm seeing so far from Josh Allen. Again, we talked about Amari Cooper joining Buffalo. Game changer for them. Totally changed their season around. So we'll see how it goes. Number three, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I'm actually really liking so far. They've been overperforming what I thought they were going to. The
Yeah.
Justin Fields, Russell Wilson thing was, a little odd at first, and now it's seeming like we're kind of getting like a two quarterback system, and I think it's actually for a benefit for everybody right now. So Steelers are an interesting choice to make some noise here. Number four, Houston Texans still got some fight. They showed you that last night.
Nico Collins, oh my Lord.
Oh man, if he is all well and good, all healthy, then look out. Houston still got some juice even without
Man,
Diggs.
if
So
that first play didn't get called back,
man.
that was how that's inexcusable. A fucking screen?
Yeah, I don't get that shit, bro. Like,
That's inexcusable from the fucking Cowboys.
unbelievable. But Houston's still up there. Number five, the Chargers sitting at 7-3. Looking like they're starting to cook. J.K. Dobbins, our guy.
Hey,
Healthy season still going. I like it.
I don't know if they're gonna necessarily sneak up on people because I'm sure people know about them now.
Oh,
But
yeah.
the Chargers, they got the best defense in the entire NFL.
I think so. They're
No,
beating
like
teams.
they're ranked number one.
They're ranked number one right now. Oh,
Their
perfect.
defense is
Yes.
ranked number one, like yards given up.
That could be big. That could be big for them in the playoffs. So Chargers are, they've always kind of been on that bubble of like they should be a lot better than their seasons end up to be. So with all the injuries they've had and shit, it's nice to see, a Harbaugh system coming in and being successful right away. So I'm liking it. They're a fun group too. Number six, Ravens. Lamar Jackson is not going to take that sitting down. So that's always a team that's going to move up to. Number
You
seven is the
know what?
Broncos.
You know
What's up?
what? I think the Ravens would be more dangerous as a wild card team.
Exactly. Exactly. They play a lot better when they're disrespected.
And they're going to have to play on the road for the
Yep.
most part. And what travels on the road? A run game.
Oh, I think Derrick Henry will be just fine for that. Number seven, Broncos. And then after that, teams like the Colts, Dolphins, and the Bengals, like we talked about, kind of just sitting there. But those records are all horseshit. So the top seven are really where it's at with the AFC. How are you feeling about that race?
I think the Broncos are being a little overlooked. I actually like what I see from Bo Nix, and
I would agree.
that defense is legit. That's a top five defense in the NFL. I think they're gonna hold on to that spot.
I actually agree. And I'm one of the people who's overlooked them too. But every time I'm on Red Zone and shit, they've got a lot of highlights. And I'm going, okay, Bo Nix is actually looking like the real deal. Like,
Like they should not be getting into the end zone this much.
right. But
Not this
they're
week as
performing
the
really well.
sure.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. So I like it. I like when it's these teams that you don't really see coming just start performing well down the stretch and then are disruptors, especially in a season like this when everyone's looking at Kansas City trying to get a three-peat. So any team like that that can disrupt something in Kansas City, I'm cool with that. Let's switch up for the last topic of the evening, and that is the NBA. Because like you said, when it comes to Detroit, it's NFL and NBA that's going very fucking well so far. Your Pistons showing some improvement as we go along. We can look at some standings as well. We're in that playoff mode, but let's look at the NBA team standings too. And let me know how the NBA season's going for you, sir.
All right, man. So the Detroit Pistons are currently sitting at 7 wins, 9 losses. Mind you, the Detroit Pistons had 7 wins in February last year. Okay. It took us till February to win 7 games last year. That's how much better we've gotten. Hey, Benjamin
All right.
JP.
Improvement, improvement.
That's good for seventh in the Eastern Conference, people. Seventh. Who the fuck? Second in the Central Division, only to the 15-1 Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's weird.
Weird as fuck. So, how are they this good? How do they improve? they improved defensively. They had the 10th best defensive rating in all of the league. But why are they under 500? Because they're bottom eight when it comes to assist to turnover ratio, which means this young team tends to turn the ball over a lot. As many times as they get assists, as many times as they turn the ball over, which is not good. That's not what you want to have. That's going to ultimately lead you to having a bottom 12 offensive rating, which is what this team currently has. Now, this team does have some bright spots on the offensive side of the ball. Cade Cunningham putting up 23 points a game, 7 boards, 8 assists. Jaden Ivey, his sidekick, putting up 18, 4, and 4. They both average about a steal and a block a game. I mean, these two are going to lead this team. They're leading this team now, and they're going to lead this team in the future to many, many years of playoff success. I can already see it. They're very young, but they're very mature. And I think the vets we put around them in Tobias Harris, Malik Beasley, and Tim Hardaway Jr., I feel like that's a good group of vets to kind of help guide and teach these young dudes. And we're not even at full strength yet. We don't have BK, our rookie, that we also drafted this year. And we don't have Ausar Thompson yet, our first round pick from last season. So we've yet to see our team at full strength, and we're already showing this much improvement. So I can only imagine what we would look like with those two back on the court. We're an improving young team overall, man. I can't be too mad about anything. I'm actually very satisfied overall as a fan. I went to go watch them last Wednesday against the Bucks when they came here.
That's right.
Went into overtime. There was a point in the game where the Pistons were up 20, but you could just tell, like, they're still young, so they're still kind of don't know how to figure out how to close games. Late game execution wasn't there. Missing free throws, missing open shots, turning the ball over, things like that. Getting the other team back in the game, but not having the other team work for it, type of thing. I guess that's just kind of going through the motions as a young team. But overall, man, very satisfied, and I think this team can very well be a sneaky playoff team.
I actually agree with that. And with the Bucks, at least when you went to go see them, like, didn't Giannis go off for just a crazy amount of points?
Bruh, I thought he was gonna have like 100 because he had like 24 or 26 in the first quarter.
What did he end up even getting? Was it like 59 or some
50
shit?
something. He had 50
Like,
something, yeah.
he went crazy. So I'm like, at least you got to see like a historic game. Like, Giannis is so fucking tired of losing, y'all.
And I got to see my boy Isaiah Stewart get thrown out the game, so
That's
that
always dope. Hell yeah. But I mean, speaking of the Bucks, I mean, they're certainly not doing well. It's 5-9 right now. And the overall in the East, just looking at the standings top to bottom, you talk about the Cavaliers, who I want to mention that I had as a playoff team, and someone giggled at me thinking that the Cavs weren't even a fucking problem for anybody, who are
no.
currently 15
I
and
heard
one,
about him.
15 and one at the top of the fucking heap in the East, but the rest of the East is just buns right now. What the hell is going on in the Eastern Conference?
Bro, everybody sucks. I don't know what else to say. Like, that's just the truth. Everyone is about as mediocre as the other. So,
Why?
the Cavs and, well, I think the Celtics are in a league of their own. And
Celtics are good too, yes.
then right below them are the Cavaliers. And then everyone else, including the Knicks, are pretty much mediocre at best.
Go Knicks.
Yeah, how are your Knicks doing?
Knicks are currently 8-6 and fourth in the East.
Pretty
So
good.
I am not a curse yet. We're still
Yeah,
on watch.
pretty
Go
good. Y'all
Knicks.
almost lost to the Bulls. That was hilarious.
In fact, I'm pretty sure they did.
No. I think the Knicks won.
Did they? Oh God, because I saw that
Because
score
they
and
were
I could
getting
have
blown out.
swore. Oh God, please let me double check. I might have fallen asleep before the game was over. No, the Knicks lost 124-123. I knew I saw that shit.
Oh, shit. Hey,
Yeah, they lost to the Bulls. I think I forgot to message you about that shit.
it's okay. The Bulls just beat the Pistons last night.
See? And they beat the Bucks. But the Bulls are 6-9. What is going on in the East? This makes no sense. God. You're right. There's not much to say about that shit. Because wow.
Everyone's
I do
about
like
the same.
everybody's about the same. I do like teams like the Magic. They've won six in a
Oh,
row. So
yeah. Wait till
like
they get Paolo back.
exactly. I was just gonna say without Paolo. That's a good sign. So yeah, the East will be the East, but yeah, let's talk about the West, the much sexier West,
Oh
the
man.
teams that are surging, and some of these are just fucking crazy. But how's it going in the West, sir?
So in the West, they currently have 11 teams over 500.
That's crazy.
11 teams over 500. The East doesn't even have five teams over 500.
No. See, that's bonkers. Like, what?
And the teams that kind of pop out to me, number two, the Warriors.
Yes. They're not dead, baby.
Are they back? Which is weird. They're showing
They
that they
look
have some depth, which is
like they're back
ironic.
to me, man. I'm just saying.
I mean, they look like they have some depth, which is ironic because they're running fucking 12-man rotations.
Right.
But Steve Kerr, who coaches the Warriors, who also coached the Olympics,
Oh.
refused to play Jason Tatum. I find that ironic.
Gotta do it every time.
I just find that ironic. But Buddy Hield has been fucking heaven sent, godsend. Dude is having a hell of a year. I don't know how many points he's averaging, but he is fucking hooping. Every time I turn on the TV, he is fucking hooping. They're top five in offensive rating and top five in defensive rating. So, in my opinion, if you ask me, I think they're back.
It looks like they're back. Last time I even looked at the fucking Warriors game, Steph looked like old Steph, and they're busting ass. I think they were playing the Mavs, actually. Yeah, it was him against Klay. And I said, damn, like, Warriors are still here, baby.
He is that
They ain't going
night
nowhere.
night.
Like, they're night-night. Oh my goodness. Yes, I do like that. The East, I mean, sorry, the East is just sleepy time compared to the West right now.
Does anything stick out to you?
I can't believe I'm gonna say it. It's the Lakers.
Yes.
Yes, the
Yes. I
Lakers.
told you.
Oh my God, you
Mr.
might.
JJ Redick, I told you.
I'm gonna put that on me because I bought the Kobe jersey, so now they're winning. That's all I'm gonna say about that. So the Lakers are sticking out to me because they won five in a row. And things are looking good for them when they play. Now they've gotten, I feel like now that Bronny's down to the G League now, kind of taking the spotlight off him. Everybody's still kind of asking, but now it's like back to just Lakers playing ball. I feel LeBron's probably feeling a little more loose again. He can start smoking cigars again. He can start looking at the women again without his son looking at him. So Lakers are feeling like the Lakers again. I would say they stick out to me. I do love that the Thunder is sitting at the top. Like we predicted they would, because all systems go. I'm thinking Thunder are going to be in the NBA Finals, but we'll see about that.
Best
Other
defensive team
than
in the league.
you're exactly. So all things are going well for them. The other team I would say right now is that sticks out to me in a surprisingly bad way, the Pelicans. I expect the Pelicans to do a little bit more than this.
They've been injured.
Is that what it is? Because I've been
Yeah.
following, but I'm like,
No, their group. When I say the group, DeJounte Murray, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and Zion.
they're
They
all
haven't
out.
played together. Yeah, they haven't really played together. Brandon Ingram, I think
Damn.
he might have played the most games. And I know he's having a really good year. Shooting a lot
Okay.
more threes. But yeah, he's having a really good season. But DeJounte Murray is gonna be out for a while. I forgot what type of injury he has.
Damn. Okay. Well, they're
And
off
you know
the hook then.
Zion, he always misses games.
Zion's always gone. I figured he was out the mix anyway, but they didn't do something about that fucking contract. But that shit. Yeah, I would say also Houston, 10-5. Like,
I'm not
okay.
surprised.
Okay. With not surprised that they're successful with it, this successful this quickly.
Yo,
Okay.
they got tons of young talent. They got seven dudes averaging over 11 points a game.
That's paying off big time. Like, man.
They're 13th in offensive rating and they're third in defensive rating.
Wow.
So they're a very good defensive team. They're very athletic. They match up well with a lot of teams. They just don't shoot the three very well. And that's a credit to their coach, Ime Udoka.
Hey. There you go. Well, then that makes sense then, and that's something I would say is a spicier team to find the playoffs too. So I know it's really early, but Houston with another young gun team like that, they could make some definite noise then the way they're
Oh,
going.
yeah. They got nothing
No
to
one,
lose.
yeah, essentially, no one else really in these standings at this point are surprising. I think everybody's kind of where I thought they were going to be at this point. So we'll see how it all plays out at the end there. Why don't you give the fans your last words for the evening?
Man, my last words of the evening, man. Listen, if you gotta cut somebody off, no matter who they are, to you in
Oh,
relation, man, just do it.
preach.
You know, just because you cut somebody off doesn't mean you don't love that person. You can love that person from afar. You don't necessarily need to be involved with somebody, you know, to actually love them. And if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. If you don't, then I guess you just gotta live with it. But man, if you gotta cut somebody off, don't be afraid to cut them off, no matter who they are to you. Because what are you gonna do? Let them show you who exactly they are? more than once, I mean, you have the choice. It's your life. But you got to cut somebody off. Cut them off.
I have the same mentality. I've had that for years, sir, and it doesn't matter who it is. Like, you only have one life, and anybody who is not bringing joy or positivity or good energy to your life does not deserve to be a part of it. And it's just that simple. There's struggles you can have, but like at the end of the day, I'm only going to surround myself with people who enrich my life. And the older I get, the more that's becoming evident. So it could be a painful conversation, but a healing one. It could be cathartic to let that kind of shit just go, the baggage, and just moving forward with your plan and your destiny you have for yourself. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if people do, it's probably because you're the one getting cut out. That just means you probably should have did better when you were with that person. So whether it's a relationship, friendship, family, doesn't matter. Everyone's cuttable.
Yep, that's damn right.
That's damn right. But you know who's not cuttable? Our fans. Because we want our fans to grow and learn and come with us on this journey. And they can do that,
Whoa.
not that kind of coming. They can journey with us with the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com. You trying to trip me up with that, and I can still get around it. Because we're also at Bank Bro Show on Instagram. I can do that shit in my sleep, brother. So that's where the people can find us for the hot and spicy context. Countdown is on, people. We are on the road to episode 100. And like this man knows already, I cannot stop making AI-generated content. So you have a lot of weird, funky-ass artwork coming your way. Full splash, lots of new updates and new fun things we're going to do for the show on that episode and moving forward from there. So lots of surprises in store for you, for the fans, because again, that's our mission. That's what we want to do. That's what the show is for. So come along with us as we grow the show just for you. And you know why that is? It's because the Bank Bros are in your city. We're here for you as we always are. And you can bank on it. Peace out, folks. Have a good evening.
1, 2, 3. Ha ha!